And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Weenie-how. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Guten Tag. Bonjour. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now. From the entertainment capital of the cheese-covered mad cow pharmaceutical industrial complex, now voter-free for your protection, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first and only commercial vegan radio show, well, veganized for your protection, where your vote still counts with me, where for an hour each week we escape into a world where, well, for example, Ohio Congress member Dennis Kucinich, the vegan Democratic presidential candidate, the one who wants a Department of Peace, you know, a Department of Peace as opposed to what we get from McDonald McRumsfeld. Rumsfeld under fire right now. He sees an Iraqi pullout by the year 2008. He says, conditions permitting, hopefully by the end of the second Bush term, the troops will withdraw. But if not, most likely by the end of the fourth Bush term. But almost definitely for sure by the end of the fifth Bush term, currently increasing the troop level of Americans from 138,000 to 150,000 to ensure an election in Iraq as ethical and credible as the one that just took place in the United States. And if you want to see how ethical and credible, go to freepress.org, freepress.org, on how our democracy is hanging by a string, how it's being turned into a mockracy. But not in our vegan world. No, in our vegan world, on January 20th, we'll consider Dennis Kucinich being inaugurated that day, instead of that guy who's showing symptoms of mad cow disease who currently occupies the White House. Also in our vegan world, we're Donna Fry, our pro-SEAL, pro-environmental candidate. In our little Go Vegan world, we will inaugurate her, mayor of San Diego. Colored in or filled out bubbles next to the name or not, her written name there, but, Mayor Dick Murphy whining that they're illegal votes because they don't have the little bubble filled in. Translation from what he's having to say there? She won. Now, how do we steal this election like the big boys? Well, we'll call it illegal votes, huh? Now he's so concerned about what's legal. Doesn't he have the legal obligation to protect the SEALs of La Jolla from the now constant harassment brought about by Mayor Dick's government and that other guy who serves with him on the city council, Scott Peterson? Or is it Peters? I don't know. Sometimes confuse the villainous characters in my mind. Yes, Scott Peterson was the one in the news all this week, especially in San Diego with his parents living in Solana Beach, and the death penalty decision coming down. Just what we need. More state-sponsored killing. The state sinking to the level of the perpetrator of the horrible crime. But then again, we're a death penalty society, even for those who have committed no crime. Why, your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner are products of the death penalty into which every animal served as meat is born to die innocent, but born to die anyway. At birth, sentenced to a beheading. Knife to the throat. Well, there's a controversial video of such beheadings at a kosher slaughterhouse in Iowa that you can watch right now at PETA.org, PETA.org. And the kosher slaughterhouses are supposed to be the ones, the good ones who follow the rules. And anyway, Christmas is coming up. Another 22 million innocent turkeys are being beheaded to celebrate the birth of Christ, on top of the 45 million just beheaded for Thanksgiving. Well, we will talk about Jesus and vegetarianism next week on the show, as we will also explore the vegetarian foundation of the world's great religions on today's program. Hopefully, we'll have a lot of time to get through a book called Food for the Gods from our friend Rin Berry, Vegetarianism and the World's Religions. And Hope to cover a lot of ground with that today. But as you know, we only have 1 hour each week in which to fit all the information and the pleadings on behalf of the innocent animals. So we'll see how much we get to with that. Please, I would ask that if you are someone who opposes the death penalty, please give a reprieve to the innocent chickens and pigs and cows and lambs and others who are on death row factory farms right now. They never did anything to deserve this. And among the lives you save as you go vegan, among the lives you save may be your own. And I see that outgoing Department of Deutschland Security Ridge was in town in San Diego this week. A big strategizing meeting on fighting terror. You saw the announcement this week that most cities in the United States are not prepared to handle bioterrorism. And I would presume that Ridge was in town talking to all of the wonderful biotech firms in San Diego, saying, look, keep your doors and windows shut. Don't let anything out of your lab. And I guess that's Ridge's effort against bioterrorism. That would be a start, a next good step against bioterrorism, and maybe the 70 million plus food poisonings that take place in the United States every year would be to shut down every McDevils and Murder King and Wendy's and Kills Jr. and Outbreak Steakhouse and Up Chuck E. Cheese. And by the way, if you're someone who has bought into buying the BK veggie burger, thinking it's vegan, well, don't. Don't buy it. It contains the bioterrorist ingredient eggs. So be careful of that salmonella poisoning and the effects on your cholesterol that come from that bioterrorist ingredient, eggs. I also saw some caseinate ingredient listed, which would mean dairy. On the official BK website, it says that the burgers are not vegan. And the ingredient list was updated in 1204, so maybe there have been some ingredient changes. I remember when it first came out. Well, Eric Marcus, who wrote a highly acclaimed vegan book, said, gosh, it was so monumental that BK was releasing a veggie burger that he was willing to buy it and eat it, even though at that time we knew that the bun had dairy. We didn't know anything about the burger having eggs or dairy. But anyway, he said he was willing to buy it and eat it, even though the bun had dairy. And, you know, I don't remember anything about eggs or caseinate in the burger at that time. But then again, I really didn't understand why he was willing to compromise his vegan values when, you know, Murder King comes out with a sandwich. Well, I mean, if he wanted to buy it so much to show his support, why not buy it and throw it away? Of course, wrapped as a biohazard, of course, and, you know, calling the hazmat team to get rid of it. Then again, it's, you know, don't quite understand, like my friend Barbara Gates, who was the vegan on Trading Spouses, where, you know, the only explanation that I could conclude of her tasting alligator is it had to be the voodoo in the bayou there. It had to be the voodoo to make her eat that doo-doo. And Barbara may have had a different explanation, and I don't know, maybe she was trying to show, you know, that she didn't want to be so rigid and show some flexibility, and, you know, or I don't know if she was trying to show that she was willing to sample another culture, because, you know, if you watch that show, as I finally did, I viewed two videotapes of it, and it did seem almost like culture wars to me. It was like the blue states against the red states, as I saw it framed there. And, you know, I'd like to have Barbara on to discuss the show, but she has a contract with Fox that seems to prohibit speaking about the show. And I've been in touch with Fox. I haven't had a response, because I would like to know about that contract and see if there's some way of having Barbara on. It seems like a free speech issue to me, but she's very concerned about that contract, although she says she would like to speak out about how she was presented and what happened with the show. But I don't know. Do I have to come up with a faux alligator recipe now, a faux meat alligator? wonder what it tasted like. I don't wonder enough to taste it, but alligator. Well, everything tastes like chicken, right? So I'll just take some chicken-free chicken and a little Tabasco sauce there, and there you have it. So I finally did sit down and watch the videotapes, you know, after being warned that it was awful. I shouldn't do it. So I came to the point where I was afraid that maybe, I don't know what was proven on the tapes. Maybe meat isn't linked to heart attack or stroke or cancer or environmental devastation or animal suffering. I mean, could that have been the case? You know, whatever. However, being an optimist, after all, you know, I mean, I believe the whole world, including you, are going vegan sometime soon. So, of course, I am an optimist. So I choose to see the good in trading spouses. And, you know, in doing that, you know, look at all the exposure that the vegan world got on the show, at least the truthful issues that we do have. I guess if you watched the behavior of that kid from Louisiana, what was his name, Zizi, very bratty kid, you know, the frog-eating, soda-guzzling kid, I think if you spent any time with him, maybe that would lead you to having a beer and a cigarette, too, like Barbara did on the show there. Certainly his mother seemed very happy to be in California away for him for that length of time and didn't seem to complain too much about all the salads that she was eating when she was here on the left coast and away from the bio and away from Zizi there. So anyway, you know, in looking at the show too, having spent a good part of my life in the media, I looked at it with a critical eye and, you know, was suspicious of the way things were edited on the show. You know, all the dialogue seemed so choppy to me. And, you know, for example, I was offering the dog vegan food. Remember when that happened? And the dog whimpered like, oh, no, you know, I'm suffering. Well, I have a feeling. I have a feeling the dog did not whimper when offered the vegan food. Anyway, you know, there was a lot going on in the show. But what interested me was that, you know, whenever you would see Barbara, the vegan, there was this ominous music, you know, like this evil, like, you know, like it was a horror flick, like, oh, here's Barbara. And then when we saw the woman from the bio there, it was nice, pleasant little tinkling piano, you know. So here we have the vegan who's trying to save animals and certainly help Zizi with health issues. I mean, that kid, well, you saw it. Barbara actually showed that she was caring and wanting health improvement from him and discouraging his consumption of so much soda pop, which he was sneaking around the back and guzzling, you know, even there in the comments that he made. And, you know, I think the kid's just been eating too many alligators and frog's legs, to tell you the truth, and should go vegan. And certainly his behavior would be much improved if he were portrayed as we saw Barbara's kids. Very likable, well-behaved vegans on the show. So I thought it was quite interesting. Now, we must remember that this show was on Fox, okay? So this is the most un-American, you know, anti-vegan network that there could possibly be. So, but even on Fox, a lot of the vegan good came out. I mean, they tried to portray a lot of the people I know who were at that vegan potluck on there. I mean, Fox tried to portray them as like the Stepford vegans. Did you hear all the audio was, you know, giggling, like an echoing giggle to, but however, they all looked a lot healthier than their counterparts did, their alligator eating counterparts on the bayou there. And one of the more touching moments was when the bayou mother was going to make that real gumbo. Finally, the kids would have some real gumbo with, you know, real cadaver in it. And the piano was playing nicely, you know. Oh, isn't that nice that she's finally going to be kind and put some dead animals in the food? Yet they opened the cabinet and there was that... you know, the beautiful expressions of veganism on what was written in the cabinet there at Barbara's kitchen. So anyway, what can you do? You know, I mean, I presume that there was a lot edited that ended up on the floor that may have portrayed Barbara in a greater light, but yeah, no, they had to take the little part there where Barbara was coaching young Zizi and just, you know, Barbara was trying to apply, well, the real rules of grammar and spelling when it came to to monkeys. But, well, then again, go into any research lab and, you know, normal rules of civility are never applied to monkeys either. So what can you do, huh? But anyway, in my thinking, many millions of people were exposed to vegan thought, even on the bayou now in this blue state versus red state Fox reality television show. So kind of interesting. And, you know, as far as Barbara goes, you know, I know her for many years. I've been next to her side by side at fur protests. And she and I went to, she was somewhat responsible for ACR 16, vegan food and school lunches in the state of California. She lobbied up in Sacramento, and she and I attended a meeting where we lobbied the president of the California School Food Association to bring more vegan food into the schools, even though he said, I'm a diehard meat eater. I'm going to eat meat till the day I die. And of course, I said to him, Pavel, die later. You don't have to die so soon, you know. But anyway, this past week, my friend, Chef Carrie Brown, went over to the school district there, and we did experiments on humans. Yes, on elementary school children. I believe there were 28 school children who were exposed to what we call pizza balls, which were vegan meatballs with melted vegan gourmet cheese on top. Very delicious, practically unanimous in their acceptance. And then the vegan cheeseburgers, practically unanimous in their acceptance. And so it looked like those items are going to start being on the menu in the schools. So, and we must remember that Barbara has made a significant contribution to that. So we must be forgiving in the vegan world. And I promise to come up with a vegan faux alligator recipe, just in case, you know, for the Gatorarians who are among us, and you know, they among the lacto-ovo vegetarians. Anyway, so anyway, that was it. I chose to see the good in that show, and you know, what can I tell you? So anyway, here we are on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and I want to thank Fox for getting our minds off of, you know, war and stolen elections and the greatest threat to our government itself, which, of course, I guess at this point would be nannies, huh? Yes, the Department of Deutschland Security designee, what was his name, Bernd Carrot or something? Bernie Carrot. Anyway, we expect extramarital affairs from our leaders, don't we? We expect inappropriate conflict of interest relationships like Bernie has with his partner Rudy Giuliani, whose security business would stand to profit significantly with Bernd Carrot as the director of Deutschland Security. But nannies, no, we can't handle nannies. They are the major threat to our country. And maybe Tom Ridge was in town to help protect against nannies. I say the best way to protect yourself, go vegan. And I want to thank you for listening to the show this week. And I want to invite your support of the show, because we certainly could use it. Free speech is expensive. We have to spend money every week to buy the airtime here. And you can make a tax-deductible donation. It is that time of year when you're probably figuring out all your donations. And why not this year make a generous donation to keep this radio show on the air? You know, the end of January, my guest will be Ingrid Newkirk, founder and president of PETA. And I want to keep this show on the air. I want to keep it growing. I want it in more cities. I want it on satellite. I want it everywhere. And I need your help. We're coming up on the fourth anniversary of this radio show. Have you made a donation in the last 4 years? Well, here is your opportunity. You make your check payable to Go Vegan and mail it to P.O. Box 220025, Newhall, California, 91322. Any questions, you can call me, 818-623-6477. You can email me, meatfreeamerica@yahoo.com, M-E-A-T, freeamerica@yahoo.com. And today we're going to talk to Dr. Stephen Best, who's on our show a few weeks ago. But what just happened is that a new North American Animal Liberation Press Office was launched, actually in Canoga Park, California, in the L.A. area. So we want to talk to Steve about that. And we want to embark on our exploration of vegetarianism and religion, and we'll be looking at the book Food for the Gods a little later in the show. And hopefully get to Animal News and Views. I would like the show to be 2 hours, 3 hours. I'd like it to be on every day. But for that to happen, well, you can advertise on this show. Not everybody can advertise. It's only vegan and cruelty-free products and services. No animal ingredients, no animal testing. And again, I need your tax-deductible donation, so please be generous, and I thank you for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I'm always talking about how delicious Veggianaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veggianaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veggianaise? Or a tofu burger with Veggianaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veggianaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veggianaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet, there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Wiebers, M.D., Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veggianaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. Well, I'm feeling pretty good right now, and I'm feeling pretty good every day since I got my Earth Vegan footwear, my most comfortable shoes ever. I can't believe it. I have them on right now, and so, it's just incredible that you can feel so good just from the shoes that you wear. But I'm getting that reaction from people all over Joy over at All Vegan in San Diego at her boutique saying, wow, these are the most comfortable shoes I've had on. Nancy Dolinger, who attended our vegan Thanksgiving feast, won her Earth Vegan footwear at our Veggie Q. And she's loving them too. Only Earth Vegan footwear features Calso negative heel technology designed by Danish yoga master Anne Calso. Promotes a natural way of walking, so natural that you feel like you're walking barefoot in the sand. Your head is straight, shoulders roll back, your spine and pelvis align, your breathing and balance improve. Toes spread out and relax, and your back pain disappears, all from these wonderful shoes that are certified vegan, certified by the UK Vegan Society. No animal products in the shoes. You can check them out. You can see all the styles at the website, earthvegan.us, earthvegan.us. Ooh, they would make a great holiday present, wouldn't they? You can call 877-746-3364, 877-746-3364, or visit the website. Check them out, earthvegan.us.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N-K-S. Meat stinks.
That it does, and you don't have to suffer that horrific aroma. When you head on over to Rancho's Natural Foods Market at 3918 30th Street in San Diego, announcing that, well, except there's a little section there for the raw wild honey that seems to be in demand by some raw food advocates, the entire Rancho's, some of us call it Rancho's, Natural Foods Market is now all vegan. The deli with delicious entrees and soups, 100% vegan. Get your organic produce and bulk items right there at Rancho's. It has an organic salad bar with raw dressings, a juice bar, organic wheatgrass juice, even organic salsa. Vegan pastries available too. Try the fantastic cakes and cookies from We Make It Vegan. And Rancho's Natural Foods Market welcomes all raw food enthusiasts with a wide selection at 3918 30th Street. And don't forget, right next door is Rancho's Cocina Mexican and Vegetarian Cuisine at 3910 30th Street. Two other locations, too, 1830 Sunset Cliffs Boulevard and 4705 Point Loma Avenue, each with close to 100 vegan menu options. Enchiladas, well, try the avocado or eggplant, or tofu and tempeh. Burritos, try the lentil or the potato vegetable, or the soy chorizo. Also vegan tamales, fajitas, taquitos, and so much more at Rancho's three restaurant locations, 1830 Sunset Cliffs, 4705 Point Loma Avenue, and 3910 30th Street.
Milk has blood in it. It's a great drink for vampires!
but not for a people. Well, every year, millions of animals are subjected to cruel cosmetic and product tests, even though these tests are not required by law. And you can help save animals' lives by buying personal care and household products only from companies that refuse to test on animals. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals has made it easy to find out which companies are cruelty-free with its handy shopping guide for caring consumers. The guide lists more than 500 companies that have signed a statement of assurance that they will never test their products on animals. Also included is a listing of charities that do not fund any animal tests, as well as a list of pet food companies that do not conduct feeding trials on dogs and cats, like IAMS does. And there are free money-saving coupons included in the guide, which make it easy for you to put your money where your heart is. Visit PETAcatalog.org or call 757-622-PETA to order your copy of PETA's Shopping Guide for Caring Consumers. Do it today. Again, that is PETAcatalog.org.
Bob Linden.
And we continue on the planet's first and only commercial vegan radio show. And I say it's with good reason that it's the first and still only commercial radio show, because I have to spend all my week soliciting advertising and donations. There are some smart people who started up radio shows on non-commercial stations and don't have to do that, like Professor Stephen Best. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Bob? Good to be with you again.
Good to have you back. You were just here a few weeks ago. We were talking about your new book related to the Animal Liberation Front and terrorists or freedom fighters. And actually, I think I caught you a few days later, or maybe a week or so later, on an AM station in the LA. Oh, and I should mention, you also have been doing an animal rights-oriented radio show in Texas.
Yeah, it's called Animal Concerns of Texas, ACT Radio, and people can access the archives and the show from my website. To use the contemporary verb, just Google me, Steve Best, and you'll get all that information.
Steve Best. And what inspired you to start an animal rights radio show?
Well, people like you, Bob. And there already was one vegan show in Houston.
Go Vegan Texas?
That's right. Yeah. And so we figured, why not try? And, you know, the philosophy behind it is that of absolute media hegemony by the likes of Fox News, as you were recently talking about. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to get our message out there. And I encourage everyone to try this. You can go to your local community radio stations, particularly if you're at a university like myself, where we have an NPR affiliate, and you can say, look, I would like airtime. And you bring in a proposal and tell them you know, what your vision is for the show. And I think quite likely you might get a half hour every week or every other week. Mm-hmm. And if we get enough animal rights and vegan radio shows going across the nation, well, we have a real good chance to dent the hegemony of the Fox Newses of the world.
Well, I'll tell you, I listened to a show that you were on here in the L.A. area after you had been on my show a few weeks back. Was it KFI you were on?
Yeah, the Ken and John show.
Ken and John.
What an honor.
What an honor, yeah. Well, they didn't let you get a word in edgewise. But, you know, when it came down to it, one of them, I don't know, Ken or John or whatever, was yelling, well, you know something? I don't care about animals. I don't like animals. Wasn't it something ridiculous like that, to the point of, well, how can you even have a conversation with this guy?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite moments of the hour. You know how hard it is to get information out, just a normal radio with commercials and sometimes callers and things like that. But these guys, you know, and there are two of them, they're just badgering you. They're not out to learn something. They're out to try to trip you up or, you know, make you look silly.
Yeah, I thought it was horrendous.
Yeah, and they're coming at you from both directions, and it's just really hard to know exactly how to handle that. But at one point, I'd already decided in my mind, if these guys get really aggressive with me, there's no reason I have to just field questions. I can ask questions too, right?
Uh-huh.
So turn the tables on them, try to catch them up in some contradictions, and the topic of foie gras came up. And this guy said, oh, it's bad, it's horrible, it's terrible. And I said, oh, really? Why do you think that? Ah, it tastes gross. And I said, so you tell me you don't care anything about the facts that ducks are force-fed through a metal tube in factory farm. You just don't care about that. It just tastes gross to you. He says, yeah, I don't care about animals. So then I replied, well, I'm glad you admitted it, because now I know who I'm dealing with, someone who is absolutely morally bankrupt.
And how do they get jobs in radio? Why can't I get a job where I actually get paid for being on the air and having a pro-animal show?
You have to be a moron.
Well, you know, catch me at the right moment, I could qualify.
Crap floats to the top in this society, and the rest of us are bottom feeders.
Yeah, well, I might have some old air checks from radio shows that could qualify me for that. And, well, you're the chair of the philosophy department at the University of Texas in El Paso. And so that's quite a credible job. Did the chancellor or regents know your politics before you got into this position?
Well, they have to. You know, I came in teaching animal rights right from the very start. I came here 10 years ago. And after about 6 years, it was my time to come up for tenure, which people might know means permanent hire. You either get the tenured or you're fired. So I wasn't sure I was going to get tenure because of all the radical things I teach, animal rights was the most controversial. I mean, I've had police chiefs call the president of the university. I've had city council people call and complain about me getting students involved in protests. I've had people attack me left and right, making anonymous complaints, students, faculty, citizens, you name it. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I was going to get tenure, so I was ready to get a job at the Peace Corps scrubbing toilets in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
And by some miracle, some unnatural act in the universe, I did get tenure. And from there, I graduated chair of my department, and I've been ratcheting up ever since, enjoying the freedom of speech that tenure grants you.
Excellent.
So it's very strange. You know, they have to know that I'm not just out teaching animal rights or talking about animal rights, but now talking about ALF, the animal liberation, the defense of criminal action and defense of the support of criminal actions and defense of animals. They have to know that. Yeah, you know, my new book came out, and I just opened this press office, which we'll talk about, I guess. And,
yes.
But
that is,
they haven't bothered me at all, and I've never had a knock on my door of any kind.
Well, that's amazing, and there you are as the chair at a major school in one of the red states.
It can be done.
That's Bush's state.
Yeah. And you know, just to tell you a quick funny story, the only time I ever had the police come around my office or my classroom was when I lit up a catnip joint in an intro to philosophy class of 450 students.
Ah.
I was trying to teach them something about the difference between inductive and deductive reasoning. And I let them think it was real marijuana at first, and their job was to figure out was it and what kind of reasoning to use to decide that. And then I made it very clear at the very end it was not marijuana, but catnip. And boy, I had cops all over my office the next day. Because some student, a very malicious fellow, went to the president and said, Dr. Bess was smoking marijuana in class. What are you going to do about it?
Well,
so the men in black suits came out.
Well, you can expect if you have cats and catnip, the DEA will be at your door at any time now. So that's a warning, you know, from Department of Deutschland Security.
Yeah,
catnip is
we all know that catnip is about to be outlawed.
Yeah, no doubt. So, well, I was curious to see that there is a new North American Animal Liberation Press Office that opened within the last week or so in Canoga Park. So I would like to know about that and its purpose. And also, I believe I was reading about that it's there to talk about some of the local actions in the Los Angeles area, including I wasn't familiar with what's going on with actions against McDonald's, too. So what's going on with this this press office here?
Sure. Well, first of all, people can go to the website. It's www.animalliberationpressoffice.org/. And there you have our website. It was started up by Dr. Jerry Vlasic, who lives in the L.A. area, and myself. And we decided that there was a great need for such a press office. Of course, there have been ALF and ELF press offices in the past, such as the ALF press office recently was run by David Barbaresh, or the ELF is run by Craig Rosebrow. And these individuals have stepped down, and there are two major reasons. One, there is a slight problem with pretending to be a spokesperson, quote-unquote, for a movement. And as opposed to, you know, the movement being a decentralized rhizomatic kind of thing. And secondly, anybody who's ever done this has gotten just an unbelievable amount of repression and heat from the FBI. Surveillance, summonses to grand juries, breaking into your home and stealing your computers, etc. So not too many people would want to take this on, but we decided to because there's a real need for it. And again, to go back to the theme of media hegemony, whenever there's an ALF attack, it always gets reported in the press as terrorism, violence, etc. And the real story never gets told. The real story is who these people are, what their compassionate motivations are, how they, the animals, for instance, that are liberated, say mice, cats, dogs, are funneled into a kind of underground railroad network into loving homes and veterinary care, and how the corporations, you know, are exploiting these animals heinously for vulgar profit, and how the animals are treated. These stories never get out in the press. It's always eco-terrorism. And you notice, Bob, that they use that term eco-terrorism without quotation marks. You know, eco-terrorists attack University of Iowa lab. And they always say animal rights extremists. You never hear the phrase vivisectionist extremists, right?
Except on this show.
Exactly. Except on this, on your show or mine, you will never hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a need for a press office. First, for there, it serves two functions. One, anyone who does such an action has a place to send information about it, and that would be to the ALF press office. And number two, then we take that information and we disseminate it to the media. And we try to provide a context for understanding why it happened and how it happened, and we try to give a positive spin on these events, such as the recent attack on the University of Iowa lab earlier this month, where 400 animals were liberated and they were kept in deplorable conditions. So we need to get the perspective out. We need to get the information out. There is a need for a press office. And Jerry and I are doing it, and we have a few other people involved with us. I just have to say, we don't really consider ourselves press officers or spokespersons in some pretentious sense. We are just voices that we're trying to build a decentralized network so that each person in every region, ideally in every state, could work with us. When there's something in their area of relevance to them and their local media, they can help and they can send out press releases and speak out in defense of the Animal Liberation Front and ultimately in defense of animals.
So, would you consider this an Animal Liberation Front press office or just an Animal Liberation press office?
Was it's a little more general. There's a difference between the Animal Liberation Front and the Animal Liberation Movement, the latter term including some broader tendencies, different groups like in England there are some groups like the Justice Department and the Animal Rights Militia that actually are pro-violent and do some things that the ALF won't do. So we try to cover the whole scope. If such an action would happen, we would cover it. But the ALF is probably the prime player, and so far all of our press coverage has been on the ALF. And I have to say, for all the federal agents that I know are big fans of your show, listening intently, we don't know who sends these things in to us. We demand that they stay anonymous. We don't want to know who they are, and we just report the information. We're just fulfilling a information function. That's it. And, you know, the FBI has never been able to make that distinction, and that's why they've gone after everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that they know that the people who release this information don't know the people who did it, but they go after them or break down their doors and steal their computers and throw them in jail to intimidate
mm-hmm.
anyone who might try such a thing in the future, anyone like Jerry and myself. Well, I tell you what, I'm not intimidated.
Mm.
I don't think the FBI could catch a cold, frankly.
So, someone who might have taken part in an action would contact you through what, email or mail or what?
They would send an alert, or they would send a videotape or information to the Animal Liberation Press Office. We have a phone number and we have an email, all available on the website. It's a nice operation. We have an office, we have a phone, we have a computer.
There's a staff there who would be
yeah, yeah. There's You know, there's a P.O. box to send things to. Mm-hmm. It's a professional operation.
I see. And I had to note that you were on Sherman Way in Canoga Park. And
probably in your area somewhere.
Well, it's in our area, too, and one of my favorite restaurants there. And I'm thinking, well, these press officers want to be able to eat at Follow Your Heart. But then I'm thinking, now I'm going to eat there and be under constant surveillance.
Well, you are anyway, so you're just making the FBI easier to follow your track.
That's true. Vegan restaurants are the best place to hang out for surveillance, aren't they? So.
Yeah, we know that they're a little Al-Qaeda cells, in fact.
Yeah, so... Now, tell us about some of, I think there were some hints that there were local Southern California actions recently, and I'm curious, I hadn't heard about anything related to actions against McDonald's. Was there something going on that I...
Well, there was an arson attack on a McDonald's in the L.A. area, and this happened, I think, early November. So we've got some information up on that on our press site. I don't have the details on that on the tip of my tongue.
Okay.
But there was an attack on a McDonald's restaurant, arson attack.
Okay. Somehow that escaped
me. Early November. Yeah, it didn't get a lot of press. Mm-hmm. But people can find the details of that. We've collected the press clippings. That's on our website.
So that's animalliberationpressoffice.org.
.org, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I presume that the traditional media, should they be looking for a response, would be contacting the press office too. CNN,
yes.
who might be curious, not that they, you know, their history doesn't say they might be curious and give another side
right.
of anything. Cause, I
well,
mean,
right. Consider us the antithesis, the antipode to the Center for Consumer Freedom. I assume your listeners know that website. They are a corporate front group for the meat, dairy, alcohol, tobacco, restaurant industries. And they are totally laissez-faire in their ideology. Anything that promotes restaurants or meat consumption and the like, they are in favor for. I mean, they're even against mothers, against drunk driving. So you can imagine how they feel about the ALF, PETA.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they always get their shrill voice out there in the media, and there hasn't been a contrast like that on our side. And so now we have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that people, once they hear about our issues, I mean, we are, clamped down that, again, it's always extremists, terrorists, you never hear of the compassion behind it and the nonviolence, too.
Right. So, for instance, you could go to the website and you can read about the mid-November attack on the University of Iowa. You can begin with the press clippings in the mainstream media, and you can see all the words like eco-terrorism and extremists drop left and right. And then you can go read the ALF statement itself, which is posted to the website. And there you will see a quite different interpretation, and I would be so bold to say the reality of what happened. That includes the real perspective, which is what's happening to the animals behind closed doors in this society.
Okay, well, this should be interesting. So people can go to animalliberationpressoffice.org and to find out more about Steve Best, Google Steve Best. I want to thank you for being on the show again today. Did I miss anything yet, or did we miss covering anything? Or
I think that's about it. I got a new book coming out next year on the ELF, Radical Environmentalism. It'll be with AK Press.
Okay, great. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for being with us again today.
Thank
and
you so much.
Letting us know about the new North American Animal Liberation Press Office that just opened in Los Angeles. Thanks so much,
great.
Steve
Hope
Best.
Great, hope people check us out.
Sure.
Bye-bye, Bob.
Okay, thanks. Okay, on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, I guess we will... Let's see, will we do a break or calendar? Calendar. I'm going to do calendar and do some news and views. And gosh, you know, used up time here. I want to get to Food for the Gods. I certainly will get to it next week, too. But in terms of calendar, well, what are we doing New Year's Eve, huh? Gee, what's Dick Clark doing New Year's Eve? Just for the first time, huh? It's not going to be a rockin' New Year's for Dick Clark. At first I thought, well, maybe he needed an excuse to head on over to the New Year's Eve bash to celebrate the 20th anniversary of San Diego Animal Advocates, which is Friday, December 31st, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. in the Sunrise Room of the Town and Country Hotel, 500 Hotel Circle North in Mission Valley in the San Diego area. But I guess Dick Clark is missing out on New Year's this year because of a stroke that he had. And what can I say? At the stroke of midnight, New Year's Eve, we will be missing Dick Clark. And, you know, stroke is the most debilitating disease in the United States, debilitating almost 400,000 people per year. And I would recommend that you go to the book Stroke Free for Life, Dr. David Wiebers, who is the chair of the neurovascular department of Mayo Clinic. That's the book I talked about on here. You hear me talk about it whenever you hear the commercial for Veginase. Well, the doctor says that humans are not meant to eat animal products. And so there you have it. So the greatest debilitator, you can go to the website also, strokefreeforlife.com, and Dr. David Wiebers. And you'll see he recommends all the meat alternatives, the alternatives to mayonnaise like Veginase. And, you know, I'm going to come out, you know, especially for Barbara Gates, I'm going to come out with my faux alligator dish in the very near future, too. Anyway, so New Year's Eve. I digress, don't I? New Year's Eve bash to celebrate the 20th anniversary of San Diego Animal Advocates and to celebrate the next 20 years of animal rights. Although, hopefully, we won't have to go that long. It'll be a vegan world free of circuses and animal experimentation by next New Year's Eve. But anyway, let's come out and have a party, okay? There'll be a vegan buffet, DJ and dancing, party favors, complimentary champagne at midnight, a cash bar. Tickets are $25 in advance, $30 at the door. And you send your ticket reservation request to SDAA New Year's Bash, P.O. Box 230946, Encinitas, California 92023. The phone number is 760-943-0330, 760-943-0330. info@animaladvocates.org is the email address. You make your checks payable to San Diego Animal Advocates. Again, 25 in advance, 30 at the door. And that's New Year's Eve, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. at the Sunrise Room, Town and Country Hotel, 500 Hotel Circle North, Mission Valley. By the way, the hotel, a lot of people say they don't like to drive on New Year's Eve, so the hotel does have some special deals for you, including one night for $89. So you can check that out. And the hotel phone number is 619-291-7131. It's towncountry.com, towncountry.com. And since SDAA was founded in 1984, we'll be celebrating the event 80s style. So it'll be 80s music, and you can dress as you did in the 80s, whatever you like, okay? Let's go on to, San Diego Animal Advocates is very upset on October 19th, outraged to learn of the untimely death of 35-year-old Tatiana, one of three elephants dumped by the San Diego Wild Animal Park in 2003 when the Zoological Society imported younger African elephants for breeding. Tatiana reportedly died of tuberculosis. SDAA was among the plaintiffs in a federal lawsuit that attempted to stop the importation of the wild elephants and was a vocal opponent of the transfer of Winky, Peaches, and Tatiana to... Is that right? Am I saying? Tatima. Okay. To Chicago last year. The death was predictable and preventable, says SDAA. So anyway, that was the story there. Where also the Los Angeles Daily News just reported this past Tuesday that Tara, a 7,500-pound African elephant that lived at the Los Angeles Zoo since 1966, died from an unknown cause. She was 40 years old. She was lying on her side in her yard when keepers arrived for work at 7 a.m., and she died a short time later. There was that. She had lived in an off-exhibit yard or barn next to Ruby, the zoo's other African elephant, who returned to the Los Angeles Zoo on November 13th after a 17-month hiatus at the Knoxville Zoo. And Ruby had been sent to Tennessee for an elephant breeding program but failed to assimilate with the elephant herd that was there. So these elephants actually belong in an elephant sanctuary at this point, as opposed to zoos. the enclosure there. I remember when we had a meeting and we were arguing against shipping Ruby off, and we were saying she needs to be here with her her longtime friend. And then after the meeting, we walked up to see where the elephants lived at the LA Zoo, and it was such a small enclosed concrete yard with the only I don't know what was their toy. The only stimulation was a big rubber tire that was lying there in the concrete yard, which didn't seem to be enough stimulation for these magnificent creatures there. So I was kind of sorry that I was arguing to keep the elephants at the LA Zoo. And you know, well, for the first time in its 75-year history, the San Francisco Zoo will have no elephants on display. The final remaining elephant, 38-year-old Lulu, is off to a sanctuary in the Sierra foothills. In April, a 44-year-old elephant died at the San Francisco Zoo, and a 37-year-old elephant was euthanized earlier in the year because of a degenerative joint disease. In the wild, elephants would live 50 to 70 years. Lulu will join a 38-year-old Asian elephant who left the San Francisco Zoo's one-half-acre elephant exhibit for a 2,300-acre sanctuary in San Andreas. Dr. Elliot Katz of In Defense of Animals said, quote, "While no urban environment can meet the vast space requirements of elephants, the new San Francisco standards are an important first step in forcing the zoo to recognize and address the complex needs of elephants," end quote. And what are the new San Francisco standards? Well, the San Francisco County Board of Supervisors said elephants could return only when the zoo builds an enclosure of at least 15 acres. As I said, up to now, the San Francisco Zoo elephant exhibit was a mere half acre. Let me see if I can get into my mad cow stories here. I always run out of time. Should I do a break first, maybe? No. I'll get into my mad cow stories first here. Okay. Let's see here. From the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, it says, mad cow feed still a problem, Cantwell says. This was from this past Wednesday in the Associated Press. A year after the first U.S. case of mad cow disease was reported, Senator Maria Cantwell says the Food and Drug Administration still has not fulfilled its promise to tighten animal feed rules to help prevent future cases. Quote, "The beef industry and other federal agencies have worked overtime to restore confidence in the world's safest beef supply, but the FDA has failed to act on its promise to close loopholes in the mad cow feed ban," end quote. Cantwell, Democrat of Washington, said in a news release this past week. And so Cantwell warns the FDA to implement the new rules because she believes they would help reduce the risk of exposing cattle to the proteins that cause mad cow, also known as bovine spongiform encephalitis. Encephalopathy, or BSE. And you know what those risks are. You know, when vegetarian animals are fed meat, like cows or fed other cows, bad things happen. Like when vegetarian animals like humans are fed meat. Whew, bad things happen. Heart disease, cancer, stroke, environmental devastation. And from Case Western Reserve University, a new study shows how mad cow prions hitch and ride into the intestine. It says they piggyback on iron-storing proteins after surviving digestive juices. It says a new study from the Department of Pathology at Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine shows that the infectious version of prion proteins, the main culprits behind the human form of mad cow disease or variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, are not destroyed by digestive enzymes found in the stomach. Furthermore, the study finds that the infectious prion proteins, also known as prions, cross the normally stringent intestinal barrier by riding piggyback on ferritin, a protein normally absorbed by the intestine and abundantly present in a typical meat dish. The study appears in the December 15th issue of the Journal of Neuroscience. It says prions are a modified form of normal proteins. The prion proteins, which become infectious and accumulate in the nervous system, causing fatal neurodegenerative disease, variant CJD, results from eating contaminated beef products from cattle infected with mad cow disease. To date, 155 cases of confirmed and probable VCJD in the world have been reported, and it is unclear how many others are carrying the infection. We are on the verge of a plague here. According to the study's senior author, quote, "The mad cow epidemic is far from over, and the continuous spread of a similar prion disease in the deer and elk populations in the U.S. Raises serious public health concerns." So there's that going on. And mad cow strikes back in a video game. Oh, here's a great holiday present idea for immediate release, a press release from December 1st. Veggie Games Incorporated, veggiegames.com, announced the release of the first ever activism-based animal rights themed video game, Steer Madness, featuring a cow who's got more than a few things to be mad about. Players of the game find themselves breaking into cosmetics labs to rescue rabbits, hijacking chicken transport trucks to save chickens from slaughter, and overall converting an entire city to vegetarian at a rate that even the meat marketing board can't keep up with. Oh, my kind of game here. Best described as Grand Theft Auto meets Chicken Run, Steer Madness is a fully featured 3D action-adventure game for PC and Macintosh, and the game is appealing to both gamers and non-gamers alike with easy controls, captivating storyline, and rocking indie music soundtrack. So anyway, check it out, huh? From Veggie Games, veggiegames.com, as the video games strike back against the meat industry. And my kind of game, huh? Okay, I guess we better take a break. Let me remind you that this show is supported by your tax-deductible donations. So please make your check payable to Go Vegan and mail it to P.O. Box 220025, Newhall, California, 91322. We really need your help. It is very expensive to buy airtime every week. Dr. Stephen Best doesn't have to do it in El Paso. The folks there with Go Vegan Texas in Houston don't have to do it because they're on non-commercial radio. I'm trying to convince non-commercial KPFK. For the past 2 years, I've been trying to convince them to incorporate vegan and animal liberation programming and to get past their speciesism. They're very good in their activism for peace and against racism and sexism, but still guilty, I'm afraid, of speciesism and not letting the word out on the most important issues of our time. Anyway, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and we will continue. Okay, coyote safe home protection. You know, trapping, poisoning, killing are not the answers to cohabitating with coyotes. Humane, effective, attractive coyote safe home protection is. It's revolutionary technology. Fits right on your fence, keeps coyotes out, keeps family animals in. $27.50 per 4 foot section, $4 per foot installation, or install it yourself. Give me a call if you're interested in protection for your family, your home, keeping coyotes out and your animals in. You can call me at 818-623-6477 or email me meatfreeamerica@yahoo.com, and a donation will be made from each sale to GoVeganRadio.com. And 'tis the holiday season. You should be out there shopping now, shouldn't you? And a great place to shop is All Vegan. All Vegan. Stop by 4669 Park Boulevard in University Heights in San Diego. Chocolate Santa Claus. Pick up your chocolate vegan Santa Claus right there at All Vegan. Pick up any of the necessities that would turn out to be a great gift. Vegan shoes and belts and wallets and purses and chocolate. Lots more. And yeah, check it out. Definitely head on over to All Vegan. I think you'll be quite happy. Check it out at 4669 Park Boulevard. Open Thursday and Friday, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, 2 to 9. Sunday, 1 to 6. You can go to allveganshopping.com. And also, All Vegan will be open every day leading up to Christmas.
Oh, no. Now you're going to give it to people. Animal burgers.
Oh, I forgot to mention new at All Vegan, vegan marshmallows and Rose City chocolates packaged in All Vegan's new private label. And if you're around looking for wheels, might I suggest the place to go that will treat you right, especially if you are vegan? Special deals for vegans at Bear Auto, 1944 South Santa Fe Drive in Vista. The phone number, 760-597-1600. Open 7 days a week. Hundreds of recycled cars available, boats and collector cars too. You can go to bearautosales.com to see the complete inventory and for directions and information on in-house financing. Bear Auto buys cars and will give cash. And no high pressure there, except, you know, from the two rescued poodle sales agents, Chet and Lewis. So say hi to Gary. He's vegan. Tell him you're vegan. You'll get a good deal at Bear Auto.
Mommy, Daddy, no circus. It hurts animals.
If you've been considering an alternative approach to a health issue for yourself, a family member, or even your animal companion, perhaps it's time to try homeopathy. Homeopathy is a highly systematic and effective method of powerfully stimulating the body's vital force to cure illness. Barbara Bartley, homeopathic master clinician, is available for home visits as well as a phone consultation to homeopathically address physical, emotional, and behavioral issues. To make an appointment, call 760-635-3865. 760-635-3865. I cannot believe time has flied. The show is over. Thanks for listening. Remember, please stop eating animals, stop wearing animals, go vegan for life.